when we look at the prophecy of Joel back there as we were reading it this morning, we see that the Lord had promised to undo all that he had done. He promised to take away the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palm worm. And he promised to restore the goodness of the land. He promised again that their cattle would be well fed. He promised to restore. And he's promised to restore in that scripture not only the things of the people, but that pertaining to himself, the power of salvation. For those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He promised to bring again the restoration of his love and of his grace upon the people. And when we turn to the New Testament, we can see the fulfillment of that promise. We see it there in Acts chapter 2. We see the gospel story unfolding. We remember how our Lord Jesus Christ was taken up into the air, and these men were left standing there looking upwards. And when they heard the angel say, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus as you have seen going up will come again in like manner." That Christ would come in like manner. And the disciples went back up into that upper room, that large building that they were in. Some reckon it was the temple at the top of a temple. But that would seem rather odd, for we remember at the crucifixion how the disciples dispersed and hid themselves for fear of the Jews. So why hide themselves in the midst of the Jews in the temple? Others say that it was a large house, a large dwelling area. But we know there was 120 in that upper room. The book of Acts tells us, Luke tells us it specially. And there they were in that room. They were sitting there wondering how and what they were going to do and accomplish. For they remembered the Lord's words to them when he gave them that great commission in Matthew's gospel, when he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." There they were in the supper room. Probably they were discussing, "Where do we go from here?" They had elected a new disciple to replace Judas Iscariot. So there were 12 disciples, and there were many more besides. And they were sitting. And no doubt there was much discussion going backwards and forwards. Much discussion between the 12. Much discussion probably between the 70 ministers who were also there, who afterwards will be spread out throughout the region. And they would be discussing, how do we go about our business? How do we go out there and preach the gospel? Who are we? We are but lowly men. We have no education. In fact, we've been called ignorant men. We've been called unlearned. And as they sat there, suddenly they heard the sound of a rushing wind. The mighty ruach, the mighty wind, the wind that was so mighty that it spread across deserts. It lifted the sand. It would burnish everything in its way. It could lift the seas and make them angry. This great sound of a heavy wind coming upon them. And as they sat there, probably terrified, wondering what was going on, and suddenly there was a calm. The Spirit of God had come amongst them. The Spirit of the living God had come down. and he had settled on them, and the scriptures were being fulfilled. Remember how our Lord said in John 14, I will ask the Father to send unto thee a new comforter, who will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said and done. And there these men, sitting in that room, and the Spirit coming upon them, and the Spirit filling them with power, filling them with great power, power that they had never known. Such was the power of the Holy Spirit, that they started speaking in other tongues. They started speaking in the tongues of the nations round about them. Men who had never studied, men who had never gone through the full course of education, like Apostle Paul. Here were men who were fishermen and tax gatherers and all sorts. They were in that upper room, and they would hardly speak a word of a foreign language, and suddenly the power was upon them. And they went out into the streets. Out into the streets. And as they went there, they were speaking, and everyone began to hear what they were saying. They began to hear the greatness of the gospel. They suddenly heard in their own tongue all the nations that were listed there in Acts 2. All these different people who had come unto the city because it was the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost was exactly 50 days after the crucifixion of our Lord. 50 days after our Lord was crucified was the day of Pentecost. And this was an agricultural feast. This was the day that the Jews would come up into the temple and give thanks to God for the harvest. Thanks to God for the great harvest that they had. And they would bring their sheaves, the best of the corn, into the temple and offer it unto the priest to so that he would bless it. And this was the day that they came. They came from all over. And when they were there, they heard the gospel in their own tongue. It wasn't a language that was uttered that no one understood. It wasn't like some of the modern churches today who take so much of the Holy Spirit and that's all they dwell on. And their language and their tongues are so strange that we do not know what they're saying. But these men and women in the city that day heard the gospel in their own language. They heard about Christ. They heard how he had been crucified. They heard how he had been laid in a tomb and how he had risen again. And men began to wonder. And it says in verse 11, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. That's what they were hearing. The wonderful works of God. And they were amazed. They were amazed that these men, who were unlearned, could speak so. There was much to and fro. There were many people gathering round and listening and hearing. And some were amazed, but others were against them. Others thought they were drunken. Others thought they were full of the new wine. And sometimes when we preach the gospel, sometimes it is for the first time that someone hears it in their heart. They hear it in their own tongue. They hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all that becomes so new to them. And at that time they realize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. but Peter standing up in the midst of them. Peter. What about Peter? Wasn't he the one who warmed himself by the fire? Wasn't he the one who denied the Lord 3 times? Wasn't he the one who went outside and wept bitterly for what he had done? And here he is, with the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. He can stand up in the midst of this city. He can stand and he can testify. He can testify to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can tell them that these men are not drunken, but it is but yet the 3rd hour of the day. And according to Jewish tradition, it was not lawful to drink alcohol before the 6th hour of the day. And here they were, men speaking the gospel, and here's Peter. That man that the Lord said, night before the cock crows, 3 times you will deny me. And here he's standing up. You see the power of Christ in our lives. How Christ changes us. How he takes away that fear. That fear that Peter had that night when our Lord was taken and betrayed. That fear that Peter had of facing the same agony, the same crucifixion as Christ. How he denied Christ. How he was prepared to deny our Lord. So are we when we are asked about our life as a Christian. When we are asked, are we able to testify? Are we able to stand up like Peter in this midst, having that renewed heart within us? The church was founded that day in Acts. That day in Acts when these men went out and preached, the church was founded. 3,000 names were added unto the church because of the power of the Holy Spirit within their lives. It had transformed them. It had taken them from being in an upper room afraid of the Jews to come out into the midst of the city and testify to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there we see the power. They are not drunken as ye suppose, but see that but the 3rd hour of the day. And he goes on to tell them that this is what the prophet Joel had prophesied. This was the day of fulfillment of Joel's promise, of Joel's prophecy. This was the day when the dreams and the visions were come true. This was the very hour of that fulfillment of God's promise. They had seen the dreams that old men in the Old Testament had dreamt and the young men had prophesied. And we see now the fulfilling of that, that the Holy Spirit has come upon the church. The Holy Spirit has come in power, and it empowers the men of God to stand faithfully and proclaim. And it empowers, and he empowers each and every one of us to the same. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we accept Christ into our lives, the Holy Spirit enables us to stand in that new life. Many men that day heard the gospel because men were not afraid to testify. And that is the duty of the church today. The duty of the church is one of proclamation of the gospel. The duty of the church is to witness to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the church. Each and every one of us makes up the body of the church. The church is not bricks and mortar. It's a place where we gather to worship. But the church is every one of us who believes in the risen Lord and that we are washed and cleansed in his blood. Verse 21 of Acts says to us, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fulfilling of that promise. It was given to Joel. It was given unto that man who had to tell a nation how they had backslidden, how they had wandered away from the power of God, how they had left God's sight, how they had turned everyone to their own idols and their own way, and how the Lord had dealt with them. And the Lord says, if they return to me, if they return, he says, I will restore. I will restore. He restored their vineyards. He would restore their corn. He would restore their wealth. He would restore the health of the nation. And the health of the nation is in the witness of the gospel. Peter stood up that day, not afraid, not ashamed, not embarrassed. He stood up willingly. He stood up because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He stood firm on that foundation. These men, just like you and I, came from all walks of life. They gathered together by Christ who called them, and he says, come, follow me. And they came. And then when the Lord was taken from them, they were afraid. So they went and hid themselves. They hid themselves because they were afraid of the Jews. And these men themselves were Jews. These were Jewish men. And they were afraid of the Jews because these men had had the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ. They had known that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They had accepted Christ and they were following Christ. And they were afraid because the Jewish nation had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and were not following him. The high priest condemned our Lord. He sent him to Pilate, and Pilate said to him, take him and do what you will with him. These men hid because they were afraid. Sometimes we are afraid to speak for Christ. Sometimes we are afraid to answer and say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're afraid to tell others about the gospel. Sometimes. Bunyan was called into Bedford to do some work. And Bunyan thought himself quite an astute fellow. He thought that he was well versed in scripture. And while he was in Bedford and while he was going about his business, he came across a group of women standing and he heard them talking. He says, oh, they're talking about religion. I think I'll go near and join in. But when he drew near, he said they talked about something I had not known. They were talking about God's grace. They were talking about how God had sent Christ and how Christ had died for them. And how they had given their lives. Bunyan left that street and went home. And he had no peace. He had no peace in his heart. He went back day after day, sitting listening to these women. Listening to them talking about Jesus Christ. Until the light was lit in his life. And until he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. But he heard the witness. He heard the witness. And that's what the church has to be today. The church has to be a place of witness. The day of Pentecost. A mass number of people in the area. If we could have 3,000 men, how many more were in Jerusalem at that time? How many more were wandering around the streets, waiting for the time to go up to the temple, to hear the priest's blessing? How many more were there? But 3,000 heard the witness. 3,000 came unto Christ. 3,000 new names were added to the church because of the faithful witness of the church. And that's where our churches have to be today. A place of witness. A place that testifies to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Nor a place of entertainment. Nor a place where you can come and hear a 7-minute gospel and walk out. It has to be a place that's not ashamed of the witness of Jesus Christ. The church went on triumphant. The church went on, and we heard that in Acts, if we read on in verse 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is dead and buried, and it is kept, his scapular is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Even David knew the day of the Lord's coming. Even David knew that Christ would be born, and be born as a redeemer. That is the witness of the church. The witness must be our Lord Jesus Christ. It must be what he accomplished for us. It must be that he accomplished his Father's will. He was faithful unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is our witness today. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, then we plead with you to listen to the scriptures, read them for yourself. Come ask questions. But the witness of the church must be to the Lord Jesus Christ. It said there that it shall come to pass, and that all flesh and your shall be poured out upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. It means the same. The visions and dreams are just the same thing. It doesn't mean that old men will lie in their bed and dreams. It meant that some of the old prophets, when they were asleep, God spoke to them. Others saw visions as they went about their business. But it says your young men and your women shall prophesy. That doesn't mean that the Spirit's going to come down and give us all new prophecy, no. It just means that we're going to be faithful in our witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we faithful in our witness to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Joel had a hard, hard task. It wasn't easy for Joel to convince the children of Israel, for all that they had suffered, for all the poverty they were in, all their land was desolate. It was overrun by caterpillars and cankerworm and everything else. Their cattle was thin and dying in the fields. And Joel has to stand up. He has to prophesy to them that if they are faithful and return unto the Lord, he will restore their land. He will restore it. And the disciples in the New Testament had the same task. They had the same difficult task to stand up and proclaim the gospel. Proclaim that we would be restored unto God. For we were made in His image. We were lost in the garden. And He had to send His Son to die to restore us. Christ is the fulfillment of the gospel. He's not just the Son of God in the four gospels. Christ is the fulfillment of His Father's will. Christ is the fulfillment in our lives if we are faithful and witnessing. The disciples were able to speak in different tongues. But I'm sure today in our own nation, there are many who hear the gospel in their own tongue today for the first time. Maybe many here will hear the gospel. But it will be because the Spirit of God is working in your life. Not because of a preacher in a pulpit. Not because of the area round about you. Not because of family background. But because the Spirit of God is working in our lives. Just as it worked in the lives of these men. If we open our hearts. If we shall call upon His name. Calling upon the name of the Lord. And thou shalt be saved. It's not a great task. We're not asked to go and do penance. We don't have a religion like that. That is false. We're not asked to go into a booth for a confessional. We're not asked to stand and say a rosary. We're not asked to kneel and face in a certain direction and wash our bodies 5 times a day. We're only asked to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believing on our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that difficult? Our Lord came and paid the price. That death on Calvary. That day on that cross. Our salvation was made. The way for us to repent. And the way for us as a nation of believers to come unto our Father. That door was opened by Christ. He invites us all to come in. And invites us all to be partakers of His glory. In John's Gospel chapter 17 he says, Father, I pray that they may have the same joy as we had since before the foundation of the world. He offers us that joy of heaven. He offers it not as a passing favor, but as an eternal life. He offers it that we should know the fulfillment in our life. It would be lovely, wouldn't it, if the Spirit was to come down in a cloven hoof of fire and rest upon us all. And we could go out there and prophesy the gospel. But we don't need to, for the Spirit is with me. The Spirit is with all of us. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is there to bring to our remembrance the things of God. Joel didn't see the fulfillment of his prophecy. He didn't see how the Lord would deal with the children of Israel. For if he did, he had been very sad. Because time and time again, they backslid. Time and time again, they turned away from the love of God and from the bountiful supply of God. And time and time again, the Lord had to deal with them. And He had to deal with them in such manners that He made them stand up and look. He did do some terrible things to bring the children of Israel back to a realization that He was the Lord their God and they were His people. But you know, the most hurtful thing that God had to do was to send his own son, to send Christ to die for us, to send Christ into this world, to be that lamb, to go on that altar of sacrifice. That was more hurtful for God than all of the actions he took over Israel in the Old Testament. Because he had to offer and he had to pay for the offer. And he made that offer in his son. Many men rejected Christ that day because mocking, they said, they're full of new wine. Many today will hear the gospel and reject Christ. But where will that leave us? Where do we stand once we have heard the gospel and once we know that Christ is calling? For you know the Lord has each and every one of us. He knows us, and he says, since before the foundation of the world. Since before the foundation. Ephesians chapter 1. You should read it and see what the Lord says to us. Read it. But we need to know today in our hearts, are we a witness in church? Are we a people who are not afraid to stand up in the midst? Are we not afraid to say, I believe? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the eunuch in the back of his chariot. Remember that man? And Philip says, here is water. Sorry, the eunuch said to Philip, here is water. What hindereth me from being baptized? Philip said, do you believe? He answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we are a witness in church, these will be our foundation, what we stand on. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is our church witnessing? The day of Pentecost, the church witnessed, and it was fulfilled. The Testament prophet was fulfilled. The Spirit came and enabled the church. The Spirit gave power unto the church. And that's still the same power today. But it says in Hebrews, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. And so is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't change. He cannot change. He's the same powering Spirit that came at Pentecost that is with us today, to enable us to be faithful in our witness as a congregation, as a church, as an individual. Where do we stand before God? If we are a witness in church, then we will know the power of God. If we're not sure, then we know that we are outside of the power of God. And as Joshua said to the people, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day. The Holy Spirit filled these men. Peter, who denied, stood up and testified. That's what Christ does for us. He removes the fear and he gives us his power and his grace. Let us pray. Father, we pray for the church this morning. We pray that all thy servants, all those who have called upon thy name, all those who are washed in the blood, shall not be ashamed of the gospel, but shall stand forth and witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. that we may see again the power of Christ in the land wherein we live, and that all men will hear it in their own tongue. So we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.